So I've got the privilege to share with you what I have learned through Psalm 98, verse 1. And the psalm goes like this. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. So what we're going to do is I'm going to unpack scripture word by word a little bit. Look at the bigger chapter where it sits. And then we're going to spend 10 minutes. This is warning, advance warning. Then we're going to spend 10 minutes after the message practicing it. So if you don't listen and understand and grapple with it during the sermon, you're going to struggle in the 10 minutes afterwards. But we'll guide you through that. So just for context, I want to remind you, you and I have been created with a purpose, and that purpose is to worship God. That is our purpose. So keep that in mind throughout the rest of this. So let's look at this psalm. It starts with the word sing, or shir in Hebrew. And sing means sing. Yes, you got it. Even in Hebrew. In fact, it's a little bit broader in Hebrew. It talks about creative, lyrical things. So it could be a poem, it could be a song, but something new that's created, right? So the first work is about singing. Now, I know some people who don't love singing. I happen to love singing, right? And I want to encourage you. God created you with the voice you have. God loves the voice you have as it is. He's not expecting you to sound like Pavarotti if you sound like, I don't know, somebody else. You should be sounding like he created you to be. And throughout my study, I have not found a single piece that says it always has to be in tune. There's encouragement to bring excellence to it. But excellence for you in singing might be very different than excellence might be for one of our worship band or somebody else singing, right? So I want to encourage you, this instruction, and I'll come back to where the asterisks on instruction, is for every one of us to sing. God loves to hear your voice as it is. So don't miss that opportunity to raise your voice and give him a chance to hear you uniquely. By the way, there's a lot of value in congregational singing, being together. But if you're a little bit nervous about this, the best place to do this is at home, or in the shower, or in the fields, right? If you feel nobody can hear you, maybe you've got more confidence to just sing out. First instruction is sing. Now, there's a very difficult question that this brings. Who are we singing to? There's a clue. To the Lord. Do we need to spend time on this part of the passage? I can tell you, I have at times walked away from a worship session saying, it didn't really work for me. That's not how worship is. Worship is to the Lord. It's not for me. It's not for you. If you don't like it, if I don't like it, but God loves it, if we're serenading him, then it's just about what he likes, not about what we like.
Amen.
Thank you, Nikki. So I want to encourage you, if you're ever critical about what's happening here or worship-wise, I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider what your heart should be around that. Maybe there's something you can bring to change our worship and improve our worship. There's certainly space for improvement. Maybe it starts at your heart, where you are, what you're thinking about. But I want to specifically flag that styles should not be the thing that we care about. God loves worship in all sorts of different forms. So Stephen tried to convince me that it's only Welsh songs that class as godly worship songs. But it's not true. No, Stephen didn't really say that. But I know sometimes you wonder about that. There are other forms as well, right? I will confess that the socks that I've got on, It's talking about Jesus rocks, right? I'm sure that there will be some rock music in heaven. I don't like rock music, but I like Jesus rocks as a statement, right? There will be some classical music in heaven. There will be some Welsh revival music. There will be some music that is still modern to come that has not yet been written. There will be music that was sung 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem with a nice Jerusalem vibe to it. There will be all sorts. And we need to get used to that because we're going to partake in that forever and ever. So I'm looking forward to that. But let me just bring it back. Don't feel that you are done in if the style is not to your liking. What research has shown is that Christians like the songs most that happened when they came to meet Jesus. Right? And everything after that's not quite nice. But the news is that all of those songs that you like at some point was new to somebody. Right? So just live with the fact that it might be new. So what are we due to sing? According to this, we are to sing a new song. Now, new song is in the original Hebrew, Shir Kadesh. The unpacking of Kadesh, being the new bit, is the same as the new heart that he created in somebody. It's a freshness. It's the new Jerusalem. It's the same word as well. And that freshness is really what this is referring to. So there's definitely space for new songs. But you can sing an old song with a heart that's actually ready for the new freshness of that. And that's what we should be yearning for, that new freshness. In fact, there are many ways we can do this. This top tip is what we're going to be doing at last 10 minutes of the time together. We're going to practice creating something new, lyrical, creative for God as a worship team on an individual level, right? So that's what we're going to do. So let me give you some clues as to what I've seen. And if you've got some great ideas, feel free to bring them and shout them out now as well. But I've seen new songs being created by taking an old one and just tweaking the words. In fact, there's a beautiful example of that. One of our friends, Marcus, recently died. He was a young man. He loved mountain biking. And this is his variation on the How Great Thou Art. This verse he tweaked. And this was sung at his funeral. When through the woods and forest glades I cycle, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down while up high mountain biking. Can you sense that freshness that it brings to him? It doesn't mean that this need to work for you. You might not like cycling, but put in your own words. My mom, she would be in the house doing some chores, and she would be singing, washing the dishes, Lord, washing the dishes, hoovering the floor, Lord, hoovering the floor, living for your glory, washing the dishes. And that song works for anything. Doing my homework, Lord. Right? Doing my taxes, Lord, doing my taxes. Eldering at church, Lord, eldering at church, living for your glory. Eldering at church, right? So a new song can be created by simply taking one and putting in some words. Another way to do it is you can take a song and just put a tune to it. Now, where this works particularly well is if you take the Bible. I haven't got a Bible with me. I've got my phone. If you take, thank you very much, Ray. If you take the Bible and you look at some psalms, thank you very much. Right. You can take any psalm. The psalms work particularly well because they are written in a lyrical way. But let me just give you a sense of this. So we've got a few music writers that do that professionally in our church. Malcolm does that. Judy writes some songs. She's got some songs published. We've actually sung some of her songs here. There are others as well, right? I'm by no means a professional songwriter, but you can take a psalm And Judy's tip was, you try and find a word that stands out to you. So a word in here that I love in this psalm is about, let me find a different picture of that. It's about marvelous, marvelous. So, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord. Okay, I'm stuck on the first bit already, but that's all right. And then I go on. A new song. Sing to the Lord. I find by repeating it, it really sinks in. A new song. For he is marvelous. He is marvelous. Fingers, doesn't matter. For he is marvelous, for he is marvelous, always. Okay, so this is called psalm surfing. If you are a fan of Shine Jesus Shine, Graham Kendrick named it psalm surfing. Really easy to do at home. I really recommend that. You can also do that in the last few minutes in church. So there are many ways you can create a new song. Let me give you some others that doesn't necessarily mean music. You can take a verse of the Bible and write it in big, red, colorful letters on a piece of paper. I've done that to write verses on my window with chalk, and I know some others are doing the same thing. Or you can take scripture and you can just doodle around it, color it in, right? That helps it sink in as well. So there are loads of different ways you can create a new song, Kadesh, for the Lord. Okay, let me move on. So, when is new not new? So is it, if I just slightly change one note, if I sing off tune, is that a new song? It could be. In fact, I got these two pictures. Who do you think is worshiping most there? The answer is we don't know. There's nothing that you or I can perceive that tell us whether it's authentic worship. What's happening is in the heart, something happens. So the new, the Kadesh, is really talking about being renewed, being fresh in your heart, right? Just like new heart. So the point is not to create a new song. The point is to create a fresh expression of worship to Jesus. That's the point. Now, why even bother? Why do we even bother to do this? Why should we sing a new song? And the answer is, because he has done marvelous things. I love the reflection we already had on things that God has done for us. You can find things he's done for you and me in Scripture already years ago. But you can also look at your own life and find things that he's done for you and marvel around that. That's why we do this. I'm told there will be more on Marvelous coming to a pulpit near you soon, so I'll continue to move on. Then the rest of the verse says, his right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. What does that mean? Well, I had to Google it. Right hand is talking about his skill, God's skill, his authority, his power, and his favor. And the favor one stands out to me. Do you know how much he loves you? In fact, let me just take one step back. This marvelous thing that he's done. Let me just, if you are new to Christian faith, or even if you've been here maybe in your eyes too long, let me just quickly capture for you what the essence of the gospel is for me. It started with God who created everything. And I believe that because if I look at the stars and at the trees and at the birds and the birdsong of the song thrush, I just think, this is not an accident. Somebody, something, somewhere planned this meticulously, knitted it together. And the same is true for you and me. He knitted us together. I cannot believe that it just happened. I have to believe there's some higher power that has done this. And I know this person because I've met Jesus. Right? So somebody, there's somewhere there's a God. And he is perfect. He is perfect. And none of us, neither am I, are anywhere close to being perfect. And that's a problem, because if you've got this perfect God and we're standing next to him, then that doesn't work. And he has solved that by sending us Jesus. And Jesus came and he forgave me completely. And therefore now that's okay that I have made mistakes. And he washes me clean. And all I have to do is say, I'm sorry, and I accept that, and now I want to follow Jesus. By the way, when I looked at praise and worship, what was quite interesting is the worship part. Part of that is that you want to become like the person you're worshiping or the thing you're worshiping. If you worship fantastic business results, you become an OKR and a KPI and an objective and a number on a spreadsheet or a dashboard. If you worship the stock market, you become volatile like that, up and down. If you worship Jesus, you want to become like him. That's why we worship him and nobody else. So this right hand is talking about his authority and the favor he's got for us. And then his strong, his holy arm, that means he's actively involved. For some of us, that's easy to see. For some of us, it's really challenging because we might not have seen that recently. But God says here in the psalm, a different translation says, he rolled up his sleeves and he set things right. And I can testify I've seen that in my life. And if you struggle with that, ask the people around you. Somebody near you would be able to share a story of where God rolled up his sleeves, got involved, and set things right. So that's why we do it. Now, I'm aware that sometimes it's hard. And Helen Rayner already alluded to that. So this new song of yours could be like what we see in Lamentations. It could be a new song of lament. That's okay. If you read the Psalms, there are tons of it where David or the author is saying, this is bad. Lord, why is this happening? That's okay as a new song too. You can write that kind of song as well. That's okay, right? But what can I practically do if I don't feel like worshiping? So in my preparation, I came up with this needs to be answered. We need to get some practical advice here. And to my delight, I found, rather than Alfred's ideas, I found in the same psalm, this is actually answered as to what you do. And it looks like this. So three chunks of the psalm. You don't have to read the detail, but I encourage you to go and do that. But the first chunk, the first few verses, is really looking back. The psalmist is saying, here's what you have done for me, Lord. Thank you. And I think that's such a precious and valuable thing to just be able to reflect on what has happened. Let me give you some practical ways how to do this. Read the scripture because it talks about what God has done. Create a gratitude journal where you write down the things that you're grateful for. Or a jar, what's it called? A blessing jar, right? Where you, every time something, thank you, Lord, for my friends. Thank you, Lord, for the lovely sunshine. Write it on a piece of paper, put it in the jar. And your jar will fill up with all these blessings. And when you feel the day that you need to look back and be encouraged, you tip the jar out, you read all of them. Say, yeah, one day there was sunshine. It might be raining today, but I remember that felt like a blessing. So look back. Then, a testimony is also really valuable in there. And there's also getting together. Then the next chunk is, so if you're struggling, look back. And then spend time in the here and now, in the present, right? God is a God who sees us right now as we are. He knows what's in your heart. And there's an opportunity for you to be still in front of him and get on your knees and pray and talk to him and just spend time with him. I don't spend enough time just talking to Jesus. If If I told you I love Helen and we married for a long time, four years, and I love her dearly, but I never spend time with her, you should come up and say, Alfred, what's going on? Why are you not spending time with her? If I say I love Jesus and I don't spend time with him, the quality time, then I'm going to miss out on this relationship that I can have with him. So I want to encourage you to spend time with him. So that middle chunk is spend time with him. Spend time with others, hearing about what they're saying. Pray. But I love the tip also that comes out of the psalm to say another place where you can spend time in the presence of God is in nature. I know there's some rowers in here. I know that some of us love walking. Somebody from the 845 service said they just got such encouragement after struggling for a long time, walking in nature, and they just saw the trees moving and the leaves making a noise. And at that time, God just said to them, bend with me, you won't break. And that's still been an encouragement for her to just bend with the trees. So spend time mountain biking up high mountains, looking at the trees and the breeze. That is part of us being in the here now, seeing God's creation. So look back, be in the present, and then the third chunk is look forward. Not to what the BBC says will happen, but to what Scripture says will happen. He's got so many beautiful promises in here. So I want to encourage you to look at the promises. And there are some nice books that just highlight the promises in the Bible or color them differently, or take your pencil and mark in the side line of your Bible the promises. That's a great way to look forward. Pray for peace on this planet, for the resolution of the wars that's happening and so on. That's another way to look forward and actually set ourselves up with how God is seeing things moving forward. So three things: look backwards, be in the present, look forward. And the fourth one that's not in the slide is worship. Worship again, right? So even if you don't feel like worship, even if you're struggling, sometimes the answer is to start to worship. Just start. Make a willful act to start grumbling, how great thou art. You know, that step you take can give the Holy Spirit a chance to come alongside you and say, okay, Alfred, I need to work at your heart a little bit. You're looking at this thing the wrong way. Let's go this direction. So just taking that step is such a crucial thing to help us get closer to where God needs to be. And specifically, the psalm mentioned raised arms, on your knees, even just arms straight out. You know, in the commercial world, there's evidence that if you strike a pose, then you not only look like you Superman, but you start to feel stronger, right? By doing it, by just striking the pose. The same goes for worship. By reaching out our arms, even if we don't feel like it, even if it's, I call it sacrificial worship. It's not theologically correct, but even if you step in to start to worship, even if you don't feel like it, and you still struggle, just take a physical action with it. Kneel, stretch your arms out, bow your head. That physical manifestation of it can really help you get to a point where you can then worship more fully. Now, I want to share with you one last bit that got me really excited as I looked at the psalm. So zooming out from this picture a little bit, there's a beautiful build in the psalm. It starts with the singer, right? Sing. By the way, that as an instruction is actually not a clear "you should," "thou shalt." It is it's imperative that you start worshiping once you get to know the wondrous things that God has done. So it starts with a singer, one. And then he talks about the singer with a harp. Now, pretend this is a harp. It's very similar, right? So you've got a singer and a harp. It could have been two people, but it could be one. Then he talks about trumpets. Now, I can tell you, singing and playing the harp while you're playing two trumpets simultaneously is really hard. It is probably now a small band that got together, a bunch of friends. Okay, so it starts with one, branch out, a bunch of friends. And as the verse goes on, as the chapter goes on, it becomes, one of the translations talk about a choir getting together. And then he talks about the nation worshiping together. And then he talks about nations worshiping together. And then he talks about all creation and the trees and the oceans and the mountains singing and worshiping, and the rocks. It builds and builds and builds and builds from one singer. That got me excited. But then also, of course, I was reminded of Zephaniah that says, God is singing over us. So next time, maybe in 3 minutes when we start to do this, while you are trying to find the song, Jesus, I love you, while you're trying to find that song, maybe it's actually God singing over you and you're picking up some of those sounds. Maybe next time while you're doodling, or in 5 minutes when we do this, maybe that is actually part of God's revelation to you as to how much He loves you. There's a beautiful testimony of one of our friends in church that talked about a difficult situation he went through. And he asked God, show me how much you love me. And God said, I'll show you how much I love the people around you that you hate so much. And that's transformed him, right? So I want to invite you, when we get a chance to spend time to creatively, lyrically compose something for God, that you do that with this heart of saying, thank you, Lord, but equally with understanding that you're not the starting point. God's already singing over us. And as my wife always say, it's remarkable to think that the angels are always singing. And actually, all we're doing is we're joining in that creative process where they're already doing it. So, let's sing to the Lord a new song. He has done marvelous things for you and me. And he rolls up his sleeves to get involved and solve some of the problems we've got. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your truths. Thank you, Lord, for your scripture. Thank you, Lord, for your encouragement for us to step out in an uncomfortable space and do something new for you. I ask that you inspire us in the next 10 minutes as we try and do something new for you that might be uncomfortable, but that pleases you. I ask that you give us the guts of that, but also give us a glimpse of the joy you have when we come to you with our offering.